Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Tim Ferriss is called the Oprah of audio, and with good reason. His Tim Ferriss podcast has exceeded 150 million downloads. He's been selected Best of iTunes 3 years running. Tim is the author of 4 New York Times number ones and Wall Street Journal bestsellers, including The 4-Hour Work Week and most recently Tools of Titans, The Tactics, Routines, and Habits of Billionaires, Icons, and World-Class Performers, an entrepreneur, legendary early-stage technology investor advisor, companies like Uber, Facebook, Shopify, and 50 others, and now television host, Fearless with Tim Ferriss at AT&T Audience Network original series premiering May 30th. Tim features in-depth, long-form conversations with guests who are at the top of their games, focusing on how they've overcome fears, dealt with hardships, made hard decisions, called one of the most innovative business people, and by the way, the first American in history to hold a Guinness World Record in tango, Tim Ferriss with us on This Week in America. Hi, Tim. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Looking forward to the series, and there is so much we can learn from watching you as you're talking to these icons. First of all, there's a difference you point out between fearless and fearless. Talk about that, because it's a very important point.
It is extremely important, and I'm glad we're starting there, because it's the most critical distinction. The show is not fearless without the parentheses. It's fearless with the parentheses around less, because the objective is not to be fearless. Fear is very important. It can help us. It can be a gift. But it's very often over-applied and unexamined. So you can train yourself to fear many things less that shouldn't be feared at all. And whether that's, say, starting a company, ending a job, asking for promotion, asking someone out, whatever it could be and will be, every one of us will face these tougher decisions and uncomfortable conversations. We can use different toolkits to diffuse the power of those fears so that we can take action and do uncommon things. And that was the objective of talking to all these people who I think were prone to idolizing and idealizing in a way because they're on magazine covers. We assume that they have everything figured out. They have a bulletproof vest. They're completely flawless. They don't have the insecurities or weaknesses or self-doubt that we all face, or at least we mortals face. So I wanted to showcase not the highlight reel, but maybe the low-light reel, and to talk about how they've navigated some really, really dark times and difficult times.
Yeah, as we're watching these people that you interviewed, and we'll talk about who some of the guests are in a second, they're all successful, and you're right, we tend to think maybe they were born that way. They hit a home run their first time up to the plate, and the key, I guess, is what they're eventually successful. There were hardships along the way for all of these people.
Oh, absolutely, and in some ways, you look at the track records of a lot of these folks, or people who haven't been on the show, but that I've had some interaction with, like Elon Musk, or you look at, say, J.K. Rowling, and in many respects, their ultimate success is directly correlated to their initial failures.
Exactly.
So it's very important for me to show people that you don't succeed because you don't have weaknesses. You succeed because you become familiar with your weaknesses. And that's a very, very important opposite side of the coin, I think.
Well, it's powerful when we see someone like illusionist David Blaine sitting there talking with you and saying, you know, failure and fear, they're not bad things.
No, exactly. They can be used as not only learning tools, but also as fuel in a lot of respects. And one of the oddest patterns that came up was a lot of the guests, I would say more than 70%, have read and do read Stoic philosophy. So they're fans of, say, Meditations by Marcus Aurelius or Epictetus or Seneca. And I think that is because, and they certainly explained it this way oftentimes, that you want to separate what you can control and what you cannot control and then focus on the former to the extent possible. And part of that is teaching yourself, and I've met some Navy SEAL commanders who do the same thing very well, learning to step back and observe yourself almost like a third party so you can see your emotions and notice them. And certainly you might still feel anger or sadness or whatever it might be, but you're not totally controlled by it. And that is a learnable skill.
Who Who are some of the guests on the program, and how did you choose these? A very interesting, eclectic group.
It's very eclectic. You mentioned David Blaine. Bill Burr, the comedian's comedian, was another. Bill Rasmussen, the founder of ESPN. Kyle Maynard, who is a member of the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, who is born a congenital quad amputee, so he has no arms and no legs, and has climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, basically doing a military crawl. And there's a wide spectrum. The founder of Tom's Shoes, fashion icons. And I, A, wanted to show that there are commonalities regardless of the area or industry or profession that you look at. So I wanted to show some of the commonalities. Second, I wanted to show that there are people who we view as particularly invulnerable to fear and pain, like a David Blaine, for instance, or a Bill Burr, who's known for handling hecklers and just dismantling them completely.
Yes.
That these superstars didn't start out that way. And David Blaine had a very tough childhood. His mother passed effectively in his arms, and he then built up his confidence approaching strangers, in a sense, by working in restaurants. And there's so much backstory that leads you to realize how human these people are. And I chose them because of their stories, because of their expertise and abilities, and also their willingness to explain in detail exactly how they handle a lot of the tough stuff.
And you do an excellent job in getting these people to respond. You do what you call a tactical interview. Explain that, because this is not an interview where you go, okay, tell me about what it was like when you did that movie back in 1973. You're really pulling back the curtains on these people.
I am, and it's been a wonderful experience studying the craft of interviewing, and certainly you know about this very, very well, and realizing the value of, for instance, just the long-form interview. So for all of these guests, we sat down for between 2.5 and 3 hours in front of a live audience, and it felt like we were sitting in a living room or around a campfire, and then that got cut down to, say, 40 to 60 minutes in terms of the ultimate final product. And there are a few things right off the bat that I try to do, whether it's in my podcast or in the TV show, to make people comfortable. A, to make it really clear that we're not out for any gotchas. If there are any topics that they want to avoid, I'm happy to pick other topics, because there's so much to choose from. And to really be vulnerable myself as a way of encouraging them to reciprocate. And it's not, for instance, just me asking very short questions off a cue card. It's more of a conversation. And if I want to draw more out, then I will tend to give more of myself and be very vulnerable. And more often than not, they'll come back with not just the same amount of vulnerability, but even more than I expected. And that's when you get the stories that no one's ever heard before.
What's interesting, one of your most famous quotes, I believe, is you said, "What we fear doing most is usually what we most need to do." This really is something that's changed your life, hasn't it? It's like, we don't have time to go into it, but the swimming, a fear of swimming at an early age at 31, you're jumping in the ocean, and you've sort of made a career out of deconstructing things that really scare you and turning that fear around and using it as a motivator.
Oh, absolutely. And I would add to that, not only is it a motivator, but it's an indicator. So if you're not sure what you should be doing, if you have a to-do list that's 40 items long or 20 items long, you don't know where to start, I have learned that following the discomfort, looking at what is causing you the most discomfort or fear, which is very often an uncomfortable conversation of some type, is usually what you most need to do. And if you handle that, your stress will decrease, or you'll be able to, say, knock off almost all the other items on the to-do list, because they'll be less important, completely unimportant, or easier to do. And for me, then, fear has become not something to avoid, but something to really put under a magnifying glass and explore. And in doing so, you very often realize that you're risking some type of temporary or transient pain that is, say, a 2 out of 10 in intensity, for a life-changing improvement of 8 or 10 on the same 1 to 10 in impact.
Yeah, so, boy, time has gone by so quickly. Tim Ferriss, our guest on the program. Called by New York Times a cross between Jack Welch and a Buddhist monk, he's hosted the new show on AT&T Audience Network, the new original series, Fearless with Tim Ferriss, premiering May 30th on AT&T Audience Network. Tim, a pleasure having you on the program. An excellent show. Hopefully we can do this again. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.